So Fridays are my day off. Friday was sunny and warm, wasn't it? Like 80 degrees, nice wind. I have a big yard. I like to be out in my yard on my tractor with my chainsaw clippers, sometimes cutting down things I shouldn't be. But it's where I relax. It was awesome. My excitement was high for the warm season ahead. And then Saturday morning came with no sun, cold wind, and a freeze warning. My hopes were dashed. In the passage we're going to read today, this morning, we see that two guys are sad and feel like all hope is lost because things didn't happen the way that they had hoped. So the event that I'm going to read here from Luke chapter 24 happens on Easter Sunday. So in the afternoon into the evening. And this event happens before Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, which is what Pastor Sean preached about last week. But we're going to take a look at these two guys here this morning. And because this is one of those events that has a lot of things going on, this is the way I personally like to do things a lot of times, is to break it up into smaller chunks. So that's what I've done. We've got four parts here to this event. Let's begin with verse 13 in chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes. And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Part one. So we have these two guys, two followers of Jesus, not one of the main disciples of Jesus, but followers of Jesus. And Luke gives us the name of one of them, Cleopas. And so this guy, some think, might be Clopas, who is mentioned in another part of the Gospels. And Clopas is the Hebrew form of Cleopas, which is the Greek name. It could be, because this Clopas, in another section, said that he was the brother of Joseph. Yes, that Joseph, the father, stepfather of Jesus. So this could be the uncle of Jesus. And we don't get the name of the other guy that was with him, but some say that it could have been, and it would make sense that it would be his son, whose name was Simeon, which of course then would be Jesus' cousin. So these two guys are going home. I got a picture up here of, just to give you an idea, where in Jerusalem. The circle there at the bottom, center, is Jerusalem. And 7 miles away in that direction is Emmaus. And so they were walking. And 7 miles would have taken roughly what? 3 hours or so, 3 to 4 hours walk. And they were going home probably from the Passover, which had just occurred. Remember, all the Jews had to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So they are going home to Emmaus, talking about what went on, and Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. And he acts like he doesn't know what they're talking about. Isn't Jesus cool? How he works. So they tell him, of course, what had happened. And then they said these words, "But we had hoped." More on that later. Let's go to the second part, 25. "And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So, they don't recognize Jesus, right? And now Jesus is going, calls them foolish, and now he's going to interpret to them all of Scripture. He says, Moses and all the prophets, that's essentially our Old Testament. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and then the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. He's going to interpret to them. So I would have loved to have been on this walk, wouldn't you? As Jesus unfolds Scripture for them on how he has fulfilled all of the Old Testament Scripture. So we can only guess at what scripture Jesus was talking about, but I'm guessing that some of them were this. Genesis 3:15. God, after the sin of Adam and Eve, God is talking to the serpent, aka Satan, and he said this, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." This is the first gospel verse in the Bible. You see, her offspring, Eve, is eventually going to be Jesus, who is going to crush Satan under his foot. I'm guessing that Jesus probably would have brought that one up. Then Exodus 12 is where it talks about the Passover when they were in Egypt. I'm guessing he probably might have brought this up. The 10th plague, where God is going to destroy all the firstborn of everything in Egypt, unless they go out and get one of these perfect lambs, male, without blemish, no problems, no broken bones. Sacrifice it when he told them to. Take the blood and paint it on their doorposts. They were literally saved by the blood of the lamb. The angel of death passed over all the homes that had the blood of the lamb on their doors. I'm guessing Jesus might have mentioned that one in that 3 to 4 hour walk. And then we get Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses was held in very high regard, for obvious reasons, but he wasn't God. And listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." Deuteronomy 18:15. Numbers 21 is the event of the bronze serpent. When the Israelites were complaining again, God was upset. He sent snakes in. They were biting them. People were dying. Told Moses to build this thing that just happens to look like a cross, and then on it put a bronze serpent. And anybody that looked to this would be healed and saved. Jesus mentions this event when he's in his ministry, when he's talking to Nicodemus, and says, just like Moses raised the bronze serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Of course, he's talking about when he's going to be lifted up onto the cross where he died for our sins. Then Isaiah 52 and 53. We read it pretty much every Good Friday, which is specifically talking about Jesus' crucifixion and Passion, where it talks about things like he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Of course, this is all about what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross, where God the Father did crush him and turned his back on his Son and took out all his wrath of our sin onto him. Just guessing, those are some of the things Jesus maybe brought up to these two guys on the way to Emmaus. What a wonderful walk indeed. Let's go to the next part. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So they invite Jesus to stay. Jesus, you know, being very coy, is pretending that he's going to go further, knowing exactly what he's going to be doing. They invite him in. And something interesting here, they don't recognize him until Jesus reveals himself to them, with this time, with the breaking of the bread. You see, we don't come to Jesus. He comes to us. Big difference. Jesus comes to us and reveals himself to us. He chooses us. In fact, that's what he said in John 15. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Fourth part to conclude this passage here. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. It says there their hearts burned. You see, after Jesus revealed himself to them by the breaking of the bread, the Holy Spirit started connecting dots for them. And all the stuff they just heard from Jesus when he opened up the scriptures to them is now all starting to make sense. Then they told what had happened. More again on that here in a second. So there's four parts here that I broke this down into. What do we do with this all now? So I want you this morning to take away these four phrases from this passage here of Jesus and these two guys on the road to Emmaus. Which, by the way, did you notice that? They went back to Jerusalem that day. They went 14 miles in one day. That's a big day. The first phrase, "but we had hoped." By the way, these four phrases, I think, explains our Christian lives to a T. And this first one, "but we had hoped." You know, what a roller coaster the disciples and followers of Jesus have been on during the whole Holy Week. Think about Palm Sunday. Jesus comes in, everybody's excited. Everybody's tearing down palm branches and throwing their coats on the dirt ground because they think Jesus is going to come in and be a king like David was and they're going to rule. Then Monday, Jesus starts flipping over tables in the temple. They're wondering, hey, what are you doing, Jesus? And then a couple more days, and then Thursday happens, and then they celebrate Passover together, and Jesus institutes a new meal. They're probably thinking, okay, cool, Jesus, another celebration we get to do. And then Jesus is arrested. Most of them took off. And then, a little bit later, Peter denied him three times, and he took off. They're all hiding in that upper room. It's not just those 11, by the way. Remember, Judas has hung himself. It's not just those 11. It's other followers that are also hiding here, like Cleopas and this other guy, because they're scared. And then Jesus dies. They're down to the lowest they can be. And then the women come back and tell him, oh, wait, he's not in there. And they don't really believe them because they're still hiding in the room. And these two guys have left and they're going back to Emmaus. It's a roller coaster. You know, of all the big profile people of the events around the resurrection of Jesus, you know, you think of Mary Magdalene on Easter. I talked about the other Mary. We have the disciples, especially Thomas, who wouldn't believe unless he put his hands in Jesus' wounds, which is kind of weird. These two guys here seem the most relatable to me. They had their hopes up that Jesus would be the one, would meet their expectations. And then he dies and is buried, and they really didn't believe the women. All hope in their minds is lost. And you can see that by how they talked to Jesus about the events that just happened. We don't know for sure why they didn't recognize Jesus on that walk. It could have been Jesus prevented them from recognizing him, or they were just too caught up in themselves and their hopelessness, they didn't recognize Jesus who was right there with them. Whatever the reason, it's not the point. But I think we can identify with these two guys. Sometimes we get our hopes and expectations and excitement up about whatever it is, only to be left feeling hopeless sometimes. Have you ever been there? Something happens in your life where you feel like there is no hope. It's gone. Broken relationship, financial trouble, sickness, disease, death, etc., whatever it is. And it can cause us to question where Jesus is, hoping he would have made everything better, just like these two guys. And sometimes we just get too caught up in ourselves that we don't recognize Jesus is right there next to us. He's walking beside us, just like these two guys, reminding us what he has already done for us, which is what it's all about to be a Christian. This is what we believe. This is the faith we have. Jesus died on that cross, and 3 days later, he rose again. But we had hoped. Then the second part, he interpreted to them the scriptures. You know, Jesus comes to us every day in his word. Every day. This is why it's so important for us Christians to stay connected to the vine. Jesus said he is the vine, or he is the tree, and we are the branches. And he told us what happens to those branches when they fall off of the vine, off of the tree, they die. That's why we got to stay connected. This is where Jesus reveals himself to us. And the Holy Spirit uses this to help our faith strengthen. And then the third part, he was at table with them. You know, in addition to being with us every single day, every moment of every day, Jesus comes to us every Sunday in this meal that we celebrate every Sunday here at Promise. At his table, where he gives us his very self. He gives us his body and his blood. And you know what? The Holy Spirit uses this meal to help strengthen our faith. Again, staying connected to the vine. And it's so important that we, you and I, stay connected to the vine. That's why it's important that we continue to meet together like this. It says in Scripture, let us not give up meeting together. That's why it's important. This is where we get to hear about Jesus from his word. But you could do this stuff every day. You can read his word every day. Did you know that? It isn't just Sunday. And then we get to this fourth part of this event on Emmaus. They told what had happened. I bet they did. After that wonderful walk they had with Jesus. And then witnessing, by the way, did anybody catch that? Jesus just vanishing before their eyes. 1 second he's at the table with them, and then he blesses and breaks the bread, and he's gone. See, Jesus, now that he's resurrected, he's full out using his divine powers, which I'm sure affected those two guys a lot. Because after that, Jesus went, and remember, he went into the upper room and just appeared. I bet they went and told people. There was no stopping them from telling others about Jesus. And you know what? We get to share the same thing. Telling people what happened. What Jesus has already done. Because I mentioned on Easter Sunday morning that there's nobody or thing that can take away our joy. Remember that? The two women went away from the tomb with fear and great joy. That joy can never be taken away from us. And today, there's nobody or no thing that can take away our hope. That the hope that we have. We are never hopeless. No matter how we may feel at times when we're going through the tough things of this life, we are never hopeless. Because Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil already. And he's walking right by us. And that resurrection and the hope that we have in that, it's all because Jesus died and rose, we will too rise. Scripture often talks about how we just fall asleep when we die, which means we're going to get up. Because when Jesus comes back, he will take us to be with him in heaven forever. That's the hope we have and can never be taken away. Amen.